Today's readings build on the image of life-giving water. Just to give a little background, in the Bible, generally, the sea is a symbol of chaos, of danger. So that's why when Jesus calms the waters of the sea, or when he walks on the water, it's a sign of divine power over the danger. But the other image of water, which is not the sea, but of fresh water, fresh rivers, that's a symbol of life, of grace. And this is certainly what we see in today's first reading, this marvelous vision of Ezekiel, of this river flowing from the temple, trickling at first, but the longer you stay with it, the more there is. It's a sign to us of the journey of faith. The more you stay with grace, the more you journey with grace, the more there is. And the river has this effect of abundance, of health, medicine, fresh fruits, healing. It's just a very appealing image. As I was thinking of this, I was lamenting. I don't know any rivers like this in this area. I don't know it. I'm sure there are some in the Philippines. There are fresh rivers. Maybe in Pakil there's some fresh, there's fresh water. But the Sapote River, I never see anybody swimming in it. The Pasig River, nobody ever swims in it. Rivers tend to be rather ugly and nowadays, and that's the sad effect of pollution. But let's stick with the biblical image here. Fresh flowing water is an image of abundant health, life, prosperity, goodness. In fact, it's in some ways an extension of what we saw in yesterday's first reading, the image from Isaiah of the new heavens and the new earth, where in the new heavens and the new earth, everybody lives to 100. And if you don't live to 100, there's something wrong with you. So it's this image of just abundant health. Now, of course, abundant physical health is meant as a sign to us of abundant spiritual health. Because even if we live to 100, the real question is, are we going to live forever? Eternal life is what we're really longing for, not to live to 100. But these are images that help us understand what God is offering here, eternal life. Now, after we get this beautiful image of abundant life flowing from the temple, meaning grace coming from God, we walk into Jerusalem and we see quite the opposite. A huge crowd of sick people, ill, blind, lame, crippled, all hanging around in their misery, hoping for a healing. And they have put their hope in this sheep pool, which, according to the popular tradition, has some healing powers. Now, we meet this man who has been sick for 38 years, and he's not only physically ill, he is discouraged. He's emotionally beaten down. He's a man without hope. So you see the contrast between the abundant, appealing, healthy waters flowing from God and the condition of the world represented by this man. Beaten down by suffering, by sin, a seemingly hopeless condition, and there's no one to help us. If you want to get this image, you can just think of the world laboring under the burden of the pandemic for 2 years. Maybe now it doesn't seem like that anymore, but it wasn't too long ago that we were all in this condition. There's no help for us, that the whole world is going to be defeated by a virus. And now everyone's forgotten about the virus and focusing on the war in Ukraine. Look at Ukraine and you can see this exact image. A helpless world. A world that is not rivers of fresh water, but rivers of blood. Evil seems to be dominating the world. One of the discouraging things, the discouraging things about this war, it's not terrorists, it's not atheistic communists, it's Christians against Christians. So-called Christian Russia, so-called Christian West. Have we not learned anything yet? It doesn't take 2 years. What about 2,000 years of the gospel? We haven't learned yet that war is a bad idea. Okay, here's the man. Here are the people, but especially this man, sick 38 years. Jesus comes to him. Jesus comes into the messed up world. Jesus comes as the source of grace, of healing, of eternal life. And Jesus is the answer here. This should be obvious to us. But it isn't obvious. It's not obvious. Look at the world. Now, if you see how John's gospel is built, it's always about Jesus. It's always about Jesus revealing the Father. Jesus in John chapter 3 speaks to Nicodemus. What does he tell him about? Baptism. About the new life that comes from water and the Spirit. John chapter 4, Jesus meets the Samaritan woman. What do they talk about? Water. Life-giving water. Remember, Nicodemus doesn't get it. The Samaritan woman gets it. And she runs into Samaria and says, hey, this is the Messiah. And there are many, many people who are moved to faith. This is the contrast in John's gospel. The Jews don't get it, but the Samaritans do. That's chapter 3, chapter 4. Then we get to, and then yesterday we heard about the miracle of the son of the royal official. Jesus said, unless you see signs, you don't believe. So he does a sign, second sign. This is like the third sign, although John doesn't call it that. But this sign is not in Samaria or in Galilee. This is back in Jerusalem. It's another water miracle. But what Jesus reveals here is that you don't need the water of the sheep pool. You need the life-giving water that Jesus comes to bring. And so he heals the man. Get up. Get up. Don't wait around for someone to help you. I'm here to help you. Don't complain. I'm right here. Get up. Pick up your mat and walk. The abundance flowing from the temple in the first reading is revealed as the abundant grace flowing from the heart of Jesus Christ. But again, it doesn't seem to work. The man doesn't seem to know what he's doing. He's just wandering around with his mat. He doesn't even know who healed him or why. And when he's questioned, who did this? Why are you walking around? He said, well, I was told to. At least he was obedient, but kind of in a dumb way. And Jesus approaches him to help him understand what has happened. What does he tell him? Look, you are well. As if the man didn't know that. He didn't know that he's well. He doesn't even know he's well. You are well. Do not sin anymore so that nothing worse may happen to you. So he's not talking about his illness, his physical illness, because he's well. And he's not talking about going back to that pool, what seemed to be the only hope, that wasn't the hope. Don't sin anymore, and nothing, so that nothing worse will happen to you. Well, what's worse? What's worse is to be cut off from the Lord. What's worse is to be cut off from life, to be cut off from the water. And the man goes and tells the Jews, well, it was that guy. And now they start to persecute him. Now, this is a Lenten instruction for us. We are not in a hopeless condition. The world looks hopeless, and sometimes it looks worse. We're not in a hopeless condition. We're not just lying around with all the sick people. We are, yes, we're sinners among sinners. The source of hope is Jesus Christ. The source of hope, the source of life-giving, healthy, abundant, beautiful, fresh water is Jesus Christ. We'll celebrate this at Easter, you know. When we celebrate the resurrection, what do we celebrate? Baptism. Baptism is the life-giving water setting us free, not from physical illnesses so much as setting us free from sin and death so that we can live forever. That's where we're headed. So Jesus Christ is the answer. But if we keep looking to other things, that's why this war is so discouraging. The people are they think bombs are going to help. They think bigger bombs are going to help more. Where's the Christian response to this war? The Pope seems to be the only one who's talking like a Christian. He's saying war is not the right way to handle your differences. You know, work it out. Brothers should reconcile on their way to the altar. You don't get bigger bombs and more bombs. So the Pope seems to be the only one who's talking like this. Although I shouldn't say that. There are a lot of Christians who are helping the refugees. There's a lot of beautiful Christian witness among those who are helping the sick. So, but among the powers, the world powers, they seem to be more interested in wars than in peace. Meaning we're not getting the message of the gospel. We haven't yet learned that the source, the answer to our longings, is not power, money, bombs, influence, fame, conquest, or whatever it is that we love, pleasure. The answer is Jesus. He's the source. So let's learn this Lenten message. Go to the source. Turn to the source. And when we see crowds of sick people, crowds of lost people, crowds of hopeless people, the answer for them is the same. The same as the answer for us, Jesus. So that's why we pray for peace. We pray for peace, we pray for conversion, our own conversion, and also the conversion of all, that everybody will be able to get the benefit of this abundant, fresh, life-giving water of grace.